All right, coming to you live and direct in one take from the roaming mobile Chili God studio in what feels like the last day of the pandemic. I mean, for the last year and some change, it's been social distancing, keep a real small circle, you know, mask on, 6 feet, hand sanitizer, the whole nine, you know, hazmat suits just to go to get something from 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's if you're, you know, I guess that's just how science works. You know, when you're fully vaccinated and all that, you know, your chances of getting the vaccine, or I mean getting the COVID they won't be as bad. So I don't know, it's just weird. It's just weird to all of a sudden just be like, okay, masks aren't necessary anymore.
Yeah, and people were just like not really still sure what to do. And some people I went into stores like, dude, what are you wearing your mask for? Get it off. You don't have to do that. And some people were like, hey, you know, the employees still have to wear the mask. And I'm going into stores, and I consider myself an employee of the store. At least I try to keep if I was an employee, to their standards of what I'm doing when I'm in the store, being polite, you know, dressed appropriately, all that kind of stuff. So I felt good just running through the finish line and wearing my mask in the store.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt anything.
You know, yeah, it doesn't hurt, and I'm used to it. But other than that, I think people, by the end of the week, there was a whole transition, just started to get more comfortable with it. So I think next week you're going to see a lot more people kind of opening up and, you know, starting to, the restaurants are almost
full capacity.
Yeah. So. And that's why I saw a lot of foot traffic in restaurants and stores, but the freeways, I had no problem getting down to Santa Cruz and Silicon Valley. There was a little traffic on the way back, so I stopped off at my uncle's.
Was that afternoon traffic or morning traffic?
Afternoon. I leave at 3 in the morning, so I don't.
So you don't hit nothing, yeah.
I usually don't hit the traffic going down, but I'll hit traffic there. Oh, when I was in Santa Cruz, I was out on the pier. At Stagnaro's, and
people fishing.
There was people fishing, and what was more important was looking down the beach. It was full. I mean, it wasn't like crazy crowded, but it was more than six.
Yeah,
it was. You know, the people had plenty of room, but there, you know, it wasn't like a little section on the beach. It was the whole, and people were out in Santa Cruz, which is great because of all my areas I go to, Santa Cruz got hit the most by the pandemic because it is a tourist town.
What is that, the boardwalk? What is it, Santa Cruz?
Oh, so yeah, Santa Cruz boardwalks. It's also, they have the Warriors.
The minor league team.
League team out there. They got a nice little stadium for there, and their office is right downtown, and they've got the little Neptune thing for the logo with the Warrior colors.
Nice.
So it gives a Santa Cruz vibe, you know, all that, because Monterey is not too far from there. So there's a lot of history, you know.
Did Steph Curry's wife open a restaurant there?
Did she?
I think, or somewhere she did. I think somewhere by where the Warriors minor league teams play, she did a restaurant or something. I don't know. I'm probably wrong.
Wow, I'm gonna have to check into that.
Yeah.
I'm a big Steph Curry fan.
How could you not be?
Unless you're LeBron James. But maybe he, deep down inside, he's a fan. I'm sure he is.
Oh, sure.
You gotta respect game. Game respects game. Game knows game. So yeah, it was actually great to be out there.
And the boardwalk is popping, because I haven't been down there in years. But what is it still? They have a couple like little roller coasters and some games you play. Explain the boardwalk
to
everybody.
Oh yeah. Boardwalk is just, you know, old school. You know, way back when that was the entertainment was the boardwalk. You know, you'd have
Is it like a fair atmosphere?
Yeah, mixed in with the carnies. You know how the carnies go around the country. But it's a stable carnival type situation.
Okay.
Like, it's, you know, it's right there. It's not the being on the road, you know.
And they still got that roller coaster?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I didn't see that far because I was on the other end.
Oh, I see.
And I was also there. The pier's on the other side of the where the roller coaster is. But I didn't see any action over there when I looked over. But I saw people on a beach. But mind you, I was doing the delivery there at 10 o'clock in the morning. So, you know,
that's pretty early.
And if I saw that many people on the beach at 10 o'clock in the morning, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock in the morning, people are out there. So I pray for Santa Cruz the most because, like I said, they got hit the hardest. And I love Santa Cruz. I've been going there for years. And, you know, I've had my accounts there for 26 years out there in Santa Cruz.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I love Santa Cruz. It was great to go down there and see everybody. And I had a really, really nice breakfast when I was there. And it was just what I'm really into, as I told you before, is Eggs Benedict.
Oh yeah.
You
know?
And if they make the Eggs Benedict right, it just you want to put it on everything. You want to put
the holiday sauce.
The holiday sauce. Yeah. You want. I know we talked about it before, but it's worth mentioning again. And my God, the holiday sauce. Once you get into nooks and crannies with the potatoes, it's heaven. It's heaven. I just love it. I mean, if you serve me hollandaise sauce with just potatoes, oh my god,
it could be a thing. Yeah, yeah. It's like cheese.
Yeah, and
you know, chili cheese.
Yeah. So all the restaurants, you know, down in Santa Cruz,
they're open.
Yeah, they're all
indoors,
open.
Indoors, full capacity. Who knows? Probably the.
Yeah, no, it looked full capacity. But the good thing is, what I've noticed is a lot of these places where they built their shelters outside you know, on the streets and stuff, they're keeping those. So what's happening is the survivors, the ones that made it through this, now have more room to accommodate for the restaurants that went out of business. Because I saw a lot of restaurants go out of business.
Yeah.
You know, so the strong will survive. And
it's got to be a luck thing, though, too.
Luck?
Because I mean, when they shut everything down, it was shut down. It's not like, and then people just kind of pick and choose when they came out to eat. That's how it felt like.
Well, during the pandemic, I hardly ate out at all.
That's what I mean.
Because so it was takeout. You
yeah.
know? So these places were packed.
That's awesome. People kept feeling safe to come back out.
Oh yeah, and that's the most important thing, because you know the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Well, I mean, there's science behind what they had jumping off, but yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
If you start tripping too much, like people did in the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh yeah,
we're like, oh my god, there's somebody in the same line with me. Oh my god, and giving you a dirty look. It's like, you know, we all have to survive. We all have to shop. But you know, there's no guarantees in life. But let's just be safe about what we're doing. And like I said, be nice to people. It's hard sometimes, you know. I get cut off on the road sometimes, like when there was an accident going down to.
But that has nothing to do with the pandemic. That's just in general. Some people drive like not very well.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're stressed out, it leads
to that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, there's an accident. We all have to move over. And all of a sudden I got to the where we're supposed to move over, and they were so bumper to bumper, nobody was going to let me in. And I mean, I didn't trip out. I didn't, because I'm like, well, somebody was eventually going
to
let me
in.
Yeah,
they got to.
And then they did. But it was like, whoa, these guys aren't doing the proper etiquette.
Not even looking at you, huh?
Yeah, and then you're supposed to go one, then the next line, then you know, when you merge, and then take turns. And I was like, oh, these guys, they're leaving like less than 3 inches between the bumper, because they're letting me know, no, I'm in a hurry. My time's more important. And
I can't give up one car length.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa. So I remember I let like three cars and I waited, and then finally somebody let me in. But I was like, dang. I was like, wait, it's supposed to go 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
I think that's how you pass the test.
Yeah, you just.
That's how you learn to
you
merge.
You let the car go, but you merge and you take turns. But
depending on how moving the traffic is, though, you know. If it's speeding fast moving traffic, I think that you got to wait your turn. But when it's bumper to bumper like that, you're supposed to let people in.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the lady, 100%. There was an accident on the
yeah,
the
you got to get over.
And they had all the cops there and everything, so we had to merge. And you know, but I'm like, safety's no accident. So I'm I'm a professional. I drive, you know, for a living. So I just kind of look at it like, when you're driving that way and you're going, just, you know, try not to get, you know, you could be assertive. Of course, be assertive. If you're nobody's assertive, you ever get to a stop sign? And
you see, no, you go.
No, you go. No.
And then you both try and go?
Yeah.
And then it's back to...
Yeah. And then by the end, you were so polite to each other, then you want to flip each other off.
Yeah.
You know, no, motherfucker, go.
It's oh, a party, quick 180.
Part of my language. Yeah. So, you know, and that happens too. So what I'm saying is, you know, when you're out there driving, be assertive, because assertive saves lives, actually. And
I thought you were supposed to drive defensively.
Well, you want to drive defensively. That's number one. But also be assertive, because like one time I was coming down the Bay Bridge early in the morning from doing deliveries, and it was a little bit rainy, and there was a car in front of me, a big truck in front of me, and there was a little car in front of him. And for some reason, the little car, and there was nobody on the road, and I was in the slow lane, and there was nobody on the road, And the big car, all of a sudden, or little car must have slammed on his brakes for God knows what reason. Maybe they were, it was a husband and wife having a fight, or somebody was slamming on brakes to jump off the bridge. I don't know.
Right.
But, because why would you slam on your brakes? And thank God I had my two lengths, you know, I was two lengths away. And I knew it was wet. So if I had slipped, and I, you know,
if you locked them up,
no,
but if you had,
I would have slid right into the car.
You gotta pump them brakes.
So what I did, no, I didn't even have time for that because we're all doing, you know, 65 miles an hour. So what I did was I knew I didn't have time for that, and I knew my peripheral vision said a car wasn't in front of it, took right directly to my left. But I didn't have time to look back and make a decision. It was that fast.
Yeah.
So I knew I had an opening. So instead of putting on the brakes, I turned really quick and put on the gas just in case somebody was next to me. I wasn't going to sideswipe them if they were in my blind spot. And sure enough, once I passed the car and it was stopped, the little car in front of the truck, so I couldn't see past the truck. I still don't know why they didn't stop. I wasn't going to stop and find out.
No, of course
not. But I did look behind me, and there was a car in the second lane, maybe about two car lengths behind me. So it wasn't, you know, they weren't going to hit me. But if they were any closer, if I did not gun it as well as make that turn,
that's called a maneuver.
Yeah, I'm used to those.
Yeah.
But part of it is being defensive. But what I'm saying is sometimes in life, when you panic. Remember that old thing that said, oh, the guy on his grave, he said, this is John O'Reilly who lived a good life, but he stepped on the brakes, or the gas when he should have stepped on the brakes. It's some little rhyme, some Irish thing.
I've not heard that one.
Yeah, it's an Irish, famous Irish one. But, you know, sometimes you don't always want to, oh, let's stop. You panic. Oh, let's stop.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that because you have to swerve to sometimes swerve and gun it is actually the best thing. Get yourself, put danger behind you.
Yeah, a little elbow room.
Yeah. So it was very safe. But that was...
Sounds like business as usual on the road, though.
Yeah, we're back to it. But, you know, that was I was down in Silicon Valley, so that's...
But it may be a good thing, you know? People are getting back to their old routines and, you know, back to feeling safe and comfortable. And, you know, we got to get the, you know...
Well, God bless the restaurants. God bless them. And
the
like
pumping.
I said, if people can still work from home... It's better on the gas mileage, better on the planet, better for stress, you know, because, you know, I do my deliveries once a week, and I have to mentally prepare myself. Like, I got to get plenty of rest before I go down, because a tired driver is an irritable driver, and an irritable driver is a dangerous driver. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and so the reason I've been so successful with never getting into altercations, there's been some close calls, but is because I get my rest. And one of the rules, I remember this in driver's ed when I was a kid, they asked the question, what's more dangerous, a drunk driver or a tired driver?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll probably have to always say a drunk driver, because they're going to take unnecessary risks, because a tired driver could just fall asleep, though, and that's, you know...
But guess what they said?
What'd they say?
They said because of that, it's more dangerous. In other words, tired drivers that are falling asleep...
I don't recommend it either.
No, and that's what I'm getting at, is like, with my van, there are times where I've done deliveries, and it's been 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I want to go home, but I'm tired, and there's going to be traffic.
Yeah.
I take myself out of the equation, and I go take a nap, or I'll go to the gym. You used to before the pandemic, which is another thing. We can get back to the gym. What are you doing for your workouts exercise?
Not a whole lot.
Got to do something.
Got to do something is right. But I would, pretend like it's New Year's and do those first 30 days again, at least, you know, and then get a gym membership.
Well, I have my gym membership, but I haven't gone. But maybe it's
time. I don't know if I'm 100% there of getting back out and doing all that stuff. I'm going to take them baby steps and just go
slow.
You're right. I recommend, you know, I'm still doing my part, though, and I'm eating out at least 3 times a month. I'm still getting it to go. But, you know, and I'm doing more trips to the store. And more trips to, you know, just getting random, you know, just sodas here and there at the gas station and whatnot, you know, just random purchases that I hadn't gotten in the last year and a half. So I'm doing that.
But yeah, I think it's also, you know, you don't want to come out too quick, full bore.
100%. No,
like,
I mean,
like,
I
ease into it.
Yeah, I get they open the gates and the, you know, that I heard the whistle, but I'm still, you know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it as a marathon, not a sprint, and I'm pacing myself.
That's the way to be. So yeah, I think that people have been great. Traffic wasn't too bad. Glad it's over.
Yeah, I mean,
the hard part's over.
Yeah, it feels like it, you know, and everything's maybe just a state of mind, because I don't get, like, all of a sudden that this, and then I get the science behind it, I guess, and it's because the majority of the people or a percentage of the people have been vaccinated, so therefore we're not doing whatever, social distancing any longer, and we're able to get back to, you know, just being open for business.
Yeah, that's really important. And then, like I said, I on the way home yesterday, I stopped off at my brother's house in San Francisco and just
oh, nice.
Yeah, just decided to spend the night. And so I saw San Francisco and, oh my God, you know, I'm coming in to 4 o'clock, you know, around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And I'm thinking I'm going to see a boatload of traffic on 280 going into the city. Not bad at all. Not bad
really?
At all. Yeah. Now, when I looked on my GPS going around Oakland, there was some traffic over in Oakland, it looked like, but for some reason San Francisco to Peninsula was clear. So I went down to visit my brother, you know, and he cooked me a wonderful meal, and I said, so I got up this morning early, he made a cup of coffee for me, and I said yeah man, I was gonna try to stop off at Joe's Taco Lounge last night, but I decided to come and see you instead, and I was tired. Like I said, once you're tired and there's traffic, get off the road. If you can, you know, sometimes we don't have, we always have that choice. So I said, man, I really wanted to stop by Joe's Taco Lounge, but they're not open. And so my brother's like, wait, and my brother's, you know, says he's not good on the computer or the phones or whatever. But he goes, boom, boom, boom. And he goes, oh, they're open at 7:30. And I said, what?
Wow, they open for breakfast.
And I didn't know that. I said,
oh,
well,
maybe a breakfast burrito?
Yeah, so I started thinking... I start thinking breakfast burrito, you know.
Smart.
And I'm like, okay, you know, I've already had a cup of coffee, so I get the Chili Mobile and I start heading out, and crossing the bridge is beautiful, just beautiful. A lot of fog, but it was beautiful, and I popped into you know, Mill Valley, you know, which is where Mount Tamalpais is. Beautiful little area, beautiful little area. Real quaint. A lot of musicians, you know. Live out there, and I've run into a lot of mecca for
the music. Sounds like a creative group.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding.
Yeah,
he sang.
That's what I think about every time I hit off that turn coming.
You think of
down.
Otis Redding?
Yeah, of course. You know, because it's where you can rent a helicopter or a plane,
right?
And then there's that whole dock. I don't think that's the one he was sitting on, of course, but I'd be like, it could have been.
Well, yeah, and that's,
you know,
and, and that's the whole thing, that, you know, Janis Joplin, Joplin was hanging out in those days, and you know, the Grateful Dead and Santana. I mean, Mill Valley, they were coming, you know, from all over. You know, or Sammy Hagar, he's a Marin boy. So funny Marin. So I'm in there waiting to talk to the owner, or the general manager. And the guy I started talking to was super friendly, and he, you know,
you gotta love that.
Yeah, man, we started talking because I'm sitting there waiting, you know, so I don't want to, you know,
just look at the wall.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so we started talking, and he's like, "Yeah, I went to Redwood," and I said, "Oh, that's Redwood High School." I said, "That's where Robin Williams went." He goes, "Yeah, he's a lot older than me." I said, "No, I know. I'm just saying. I know people that have gone there," and I said, "My buddy." Was related to Chad Kruder, and he was a baseball player that made it to the Dodgers
in
Detroit, and he was from there.
What position?
He was catcher.
Oh,
he was
wow.
A catcher, and he was class of 81 or 82, Chad Kruder. You can check it out. But then we started talking, and then as soon as I said, oh yeah, and the buddy Bilanciano went there too, and his eyes lit up, and he goes, he was in my class, you know, and like, you know, yeah. And I said, yeah, he made it to the World Series in like 81, I think.
What was the name?
A buddy Bilanciano.
Wow,
and don't quote me on that spelling. Quote me if I'm wrong, but it's a tough name. But I think he was class of 77. At a Redwood High School. So, you know, Robin Williams went there, but not only that, they had two good guys, baseball players.
They must have had a good team, huh?
Well, they were different years. Buddy,
oh, okay.
Buddy was, I think, 77 or 76 or 78, somewhere in that.
But
average.
Still, to have two pros come through in a 10-year span, that's, you know.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah,
you know,
that's all I'm saying.
I think there was a... Where was the one in Pacifica? There was a high school in Pacifica. It was not Oceana.
Oh, who, De La Salle? They're always a powerhouse.
Oh, that, yeah. But you're talking about good ball players. They had a bunch of good baseball players come out of it's the same high school that Rob Snyder went to.
Oh, I don't know anything like that.
Do you know Rob Snyder?
No, I never met him.
Oh, my God. I met him. You know, I'll tell you the story when I met Rob Snyder. This was funny. He's a guy from Saturday Live, you know, and then did a bunch of movies with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, it's his homeboy.
Yeah, they're buddy.
I think he's hilarious.
The guy's a crack up, right? So this one I was living in the city, and my buddy Super T, I told you about Super T, he's like, hey, let's go down to North Beach and check out this one bar. And I said, okay, let's go, because we'd go all over the city. We just loved it back in those days. And so we go to the bar, and there's a guy sitting at the bar. And I look at him, I go, boy, that looks like that guy from Saturday Night Live. This is when Rob Snyder first started.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, I want to go say hi. And so I go up to him, and I said, Rob, what's... I didn't even know his name. Excuse me. I said, hey, aren't you the guy from Saturday Night Live? I didn't even know his name, because it's when his career first started. And he was from Pacifica.
This is way before social media, so there's like 6 channels and 3 shows.
Right? Oh, yeah. So for him to be on Saturday Night Live was big. It was huge.
Huge.
And he's talking to these 2 beautiful models, right? Right next to him. Yeah. One on each side, beautiful blondes. And I said to him, but, you know, I didn't want to be like, I'm never that guy. Like, oh, you're famous. I need to talk to you and chum up with you. But I said, oh, well, you just look like the dude. But where are you from? And he said, oh, I'm from Pacifica. And I said, oh, Pacifica. I said, my cousins went to Oceana, and I used to play baseball with the guys from his high school. God, why can't I remember it? Not Jefferson, that was in Daly City. It'll come to me. But, you know, I'm sitting there just going, yeah, my cousins went there, and, you know, I used to play ball down there, and I love Pacifica. We just started talking like I would talk to anybody.
Yeah, why not?
Right? And the girls walk, you know, finally get bored and walk away. Because they weren't getting their attention, you know. But, and then they're waiting for him. And me and him, we went off on this long conversation just talking about Pacifica, this and that. And so he's telling me all this stuff about Pacifica. And I'm telling me, and I said, yeah, I said, my baseball coach is at City College of San Francisco. You know, he never let me play, but he told me how great I was. Like, the guy was he was a dick. Like, why?
Doesn't sound like a good coach.
No, some people are afraid to win, but it's more, I've learned coaches and teachers sometimes have egos. And you got to let the ego out the door when you're teaching kids. You got to let the ego out the door. And sometimes they would see the shine, and they would just be jealous. But that's not the point. The point is that I'm talking about him, and I go, yeah. Actually, the guy was a real asshole. And then...
Was it his dad?
No, but pretty goddamn fucking close. It was
for real?
For real. He goes, yeah, I got to tell you something, Frank. I said, what's that? I said, I'm Rob Snyder, you know, the actor. Yeah. And you are right, I am the actor. And Fred Glosser, his son's my best friend.
Hilarious.
And then it just dawned on me. I put 2 and 2 together, because when I was on the team... Fred Glosser's kid was Michael J. Fox's double in Teen Wolf. He was a real good basketball player. You follow me? So, yeah. So, but I didn't put the connection. Like, when I'm talking to him, he said he's not Snyder.
Yeah.
I believed him. And I thought he was just somebody from Pacifica, you know? So, you know, beautiful, beautiful little town. They got some good surf down there, too. Yeah, that's where we used to go surfing. But anyway... Just kind of a funny story. How you got to be careful of who you're when you're talking to somebody. Yeah. But it's like I should have put 2 and 2 together.
Yeah.
If he's into acting and Michael J. Fox, or the guy that did the double for Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf, you know, I already knew that prior to seeing him because he was my coach, and we all knew that his son was a double in that Michael J. Fox Teen Wolf. So, and we knew he was a good athlete. So we're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But anyway, so be careful out there when you're talking to people.
I want to hear about this breakfast burrito.
Oh yeah. So I go in there and I start talking.
So it sounds like this place. Where was it? Did you say Mill Valley?
Yeah, it was in Mill Valley. So okay. I start talking to General Manager Rico. Out there. Oh, I was after I talked, had that conversation with the gentleman from Redwood High. Then I was talking to him, and I said,
"And where's the locale? I mean, is it? It's right off the freeway. Is it?"
Oh, it's right before you go into downtown Mill Valley, right off 101 after you cross.
And is it sit down and eat? Is it outside dining? Picnic tables? I mean,
yeah. they're one of the lucky places that is now open full bore inside. Okay. But they set up the front.
So was it always like that, or the outside dining is new?
That's new because of the pandemic. Nice. That's what I'm saying. If people that have survived,
yeah, you got to.
They're going to keep those areas because we've lost all the other restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to accommodate. You have to make more room for the spaces. And the place looked great, like always. And so I got to tell you a little bit about this place. It, like you said, it's right off the freeway, right before you go into beautiful downtown Mill Valley. And it's right off on Miller Street, 382 Miller Street, I think. But this place is a mecca of hot sauce and hot, and it's like it's Joe's Taco Lounge, and you feel like you could have a margarita there. And in the morning, it's open at 7:30. It's called Cup of Joe's. What I really like, it's a play off the whole thing. But the whole atmosphere is like Art Deco on the outside with your festive Latin color influence, you know, but also almost the coastal Pacific, a little bit of the bluish, that blue you see.
Those tones.
Yeah, and those tones, and it gives you, when you walk in there, you're downtown Mill Valley, but it makes you feel like you're in Baja, you know, at some taco place, but you're at the religious, you're having a religious experience, because it's like religious icons are all over the thing mixed in with the sauce.
It's festive.
So, and that's what I said to the guy. I said, Rico, when I walked out, I go, I love your restaurant. It's so festive.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I said to him. It's so festive. I've always loved your place. And I said, hey, you know, you guys deserve, you know, the Chili God's stamp of approval because you guys got quality. Oh, and I haven't even gotten to the food yet.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Am I going talking too much about this place? Because it was just gorgeous.
Yeah, it sounds like
If I wanted to open up a restaurant, I would want this style.
Yeah, find their interior designer.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think was the original Joe. I think him and his wife designed it. So,
I'm sure. And it just got updated throughout the years. But yeah, so the menu. So what is it? Like, it's probably your typical, you know, Mexican restaurant. You can get, they probably have a great burrito, great tacos.
Oh yeah, I mean everything.
What's their specialty?
I think their specialty, I would have to say, is freshness. Like when you go in the back, because I'm in the back when I do deliveries and stuff like that, you know. So I'm in the back all the time talking to the cooks and stuff, and it's just they're just using all quality stuff.
You can't order that off the menu. Like what's one of the things off the menu you could get that's like they're known for?
Oh, I had the burrito.
The burrito? Okay.
Oh, yeah. The burrito was fabulous. And I got the carne asada. And then the thing about it is once you get it, they have all these different sauces on the wall.
Nice. A salsa bar.
Yeah. And so it's also, and they call it Joe's Taco Lounge and Salseria, which I thought is a really clever name. So the Salseria, because salsa, what is hot sauce?
That sounds authentic.
It's picante salsa chopped up even more and blended even more. So we're really, all our sauces are really salsas till you blend them.
You got saucy sauces.
Yeah, and this, so you're sitting there, and let's say you wanted to order one of their burritos like I did, right? And you're sitting there, and you can look around the wall and go, I'll take that one, you know? And then they've even got these little shrine things that are enclosed in plexiglass and stuff, and they'll have, you know, religious artifacts, like I said, in bottles. Like there's a couple with my sauce in there, Chili God's, you know.
There you go.
And these guys, so you got their quality, you know, you got their love of making the experiences we talked about, of having a burrito or having a cup of coffee out there. Everybody was chit-chatting and talking and the whole thing, so it was like, you know, I sense it, you know, like the one guy's dog out there is like, rah, 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 rah. And I'm like, I get it, bro. Like, I get, instead of being all.
Was it a chihuahua?
A little bigger. But I was like, this poor guy hasn't been out in a year either.
Yeah.
You know, so when I saw the little dog, I was like, oh, poor thing. And I started talking to him like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be okay.
It's all good. How could there be anything bad?
You know, because it's all, you know, you got to, if you have understanding, you have patience. And if you have patience, that's the opposite of what we talked about earlier with when you're on the road, you have rage and you get angry. So patience. Let's be patient out there. If we've learned anything from the pandemic, let's be patient.
So you had the burrito. Have you ever had anything else there? Like my go-to is always the quesadilla, or if they got a good taco style, it in the shell.
Yeah, you know what? They have an extensive menu.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, extensive. But I'm one of those guys, a lot of times, I just like that basic, you know, burrito
taco.
And like I said, then I have my palate fresh, and then I go, oh, what hot sauce do I want to try today?
Yeah.
And I always go to Chili Gods for some reason.
Well, there you go.
No, I'm kidding. No, variety's the spice of life. But that's what I'm saying. These guys are a salsa.
Because it feels like there's two ways that they do the quesadilla, and I'm a fan of both of them. It feels like they either make the quesadilla with all the ingredients inside, so it's the steak, because I get carne asada as well.
Right.
The steak, the cheese, the guacamole, the sour cream, the tomatoes, the lettuce. They put all that stuff on the inside. Or they do it where it's just the steak and the cheese and the tortillas, and they fold them, they cut it up in about four pieces, and then they have the fixins on the side, so they have a little
right.
And I don't know, because when they do it the second way, where the stuff is on the outside, the tomatoes and not all that other stuff, it stays cold and everything's crisp.
Yeah.
And then you could just put it on the top and eat it like that. But when it's all mixed together, it's good as well. So I don't know. I don't have a preference. I got two different restaurants that I go to, and they do each the opposite way, so I'll rotate those.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's true. My one restaurant here in Healdsburg, like you said, they put it all on the outside, and then they give you the
two things of red sauce and two things of green sauce.
Yeah, and then you sit
one
there
one bag
go,
of chips and some beans on the side.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, this one I want a little bit more beans. Oh, this one I want a little... So you make all four of them, like, totally different.
Yeah.
It's great. But then, like you said, I like it when you go in and everything's wrapped up, and you... And as long as you eat it in a reasonable amount of time and it's still warm, and then the sour cream and the you know, avocado still stays crisp or cold and fresh. But you're right. If you eat those, that's what I don't like about them, because if you don't eat it right away.
When it's made to go.
And especially if they throw lettuce in there, it gets soggy.
It does, yeah.
So, yeah.
And it seems like the ones that are pre-made, all of them inside the tortilla already wrapped for you, it seems like those ones are juicier. Those are the ones you got to have a napkin in the lap. Those are the ones that spill out the bottom, it seems like.
Yeah, and that's no good. I mean, you know what? And that's one thing.
But I don't mind either. Either one is fine with me. I think they're both good ways to eat them. It's just interesting that those are like the two ways they come. That's the only way I've seen them.
Who is that guy on Shark Tank? The guy that always wears the suit, the black dude always wears a nice suit. You know his name?
I don't. I never watched Shark Tank.
Oh, you don't?
I know the reference. I know.
I can't remember his name right now. So I'm sorry. But anyway, he was the one that got me out of the habit, because when you were saying about those burritos, I used to
quesadillas.
Quesadillas. Right, but you could get it the same with burrito with the lettuce in there too. Or just the soggy one in general, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when I was, before he told me, I read this about him, I would always do that other burrito. Go, oh, who cares if it gets messy? And then my shirt would have stains in it.
Yeah, a sign of a good meal sometimes.
Exactly, which was a sign of a good meal. But then I realized that I didn't care. I'd be going into my rest of the lyrics going, oh, well, they got to understand. I'm eating food, and I spilled. I'm on the run.
It happens.
But he said that the best thing that you can do, and the number one thing, is if you're going to go into business, is focus on your hygiene and how you look. So if you go in...
Well, cleanliness is next to godliness.
Next to chili godliness, actually.
There you go.
But what I'm saying is he taught me that. So now I'm more conscious about that burrito that can get you into trouble. So I'm more...
Well, I've seen the burritos two ways as well. I've seen the burritos where you pick up with the hand and there's everything in there. And then I've seen the super burritos where you eat with the fork and then they put the red sauce on the top of it. And then they put the cheese, a melted cheese, almost like a nacho cheese, on top of the red sauce, and then that's a knife and fork all day.
Oh yeah, you can't.
The
eat
best
that
burrito
enough.
I ever had. I wish I could remember the name of the restaurant. It was a spot in Napa, and that's the first time I seen it like that, and it was so good. It was a fork and knife, and it was almost, you know, you ate half of it, you had a little bit of a soda or water, and you got.
Did it have lettuce in there?
It had all of it. It had everything in there. I think it even had rice.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, it had all that. It was big. Saying, I mean, we're talking about the size of a small football, not an NFL official football, but you know what I mean.
It's called Nerf football.
Yeah, a little Nerf football. You know, it's called a super burrito.
Well, shouldn't that one be called a super duper burrito?
No, because it was doable.
Okay.
It wasn't like a,
So what you're saying to
me. So that's the second way. So I've seen burritos two ways as well. So, I mean, there's different ways to do it.
But back to that burrito.
Yeah.
You're saying that it was the top that made it for you.
Well, yeah, it was the first
time.
That
killed
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it was a good cheese burrito.
It was a great burrito. But then the whole thing is because you're eating it with a fork and knife. You know, so it's different. So sometimes maybe if they didn't have the salsa and the cheese on the top, maybe a certain bite might have been dry. But with the salsa, every bite has cheese and salsa on it.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's a salsa per se, but it's a red sauce. I don't know the difference
yeah, just
between
an enchilada
the
sauce.
Yeah, exactly. Simple but enchilada. You know what I mean? It's a different spiciness than an actual salsa, and it's a smooth sauce. There's no like chunks of. It's not like a.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't have any picante or pico de gallo in it.
No, it's blended. Definitely. Yeah. That's yeah. I thought about putting an enchilada sauce out a few years back, but you know, right now I'm just gonna stick with the red, green, and the mustard and the honey chili. But yeah, that was. I would have to say that if you if you're ever North Bay. Or in San Francisco.
But yeah, so go to Joe's Taco Lounge. But yeah, but it sounds like you got the burrito. But I want to know, have you ever had the breakfast burrito? Because going back to burritos, because I remember there was a food truck that I used to get these breakfast burritos off. And it was the first, maybe not the first time, but it's the first time I noticed, what's it called, chorizo. And so they would do the eggs, they would do the scrambled eggs, they would do whatever it's called, diced whatever, potatoes, you know?
Oh, it's a hangover special.
Well, it wasn't like that. It was just a delicious meal I'd have around 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and you know what? The one
it was
what,
so
the
good.
One said do it.
Sour cream, salsa.
Oh, you have
in
to
there.
Have sour cream and guacamole because that's going to counter the greasiness. But my thing is, I've had a couple of those before, and they didn't put enough chorizo in, and they put too much potato, and it kind of blanded it.
This was the exact opposite
but
of that.
But if you have more chorizo in, then it gets into the nooks and crannies of the potatoes. And then and absorbs that grease. Ooh, you get some good
flavor. Yeah, it's all about
flavor.
Ratio.
And then the balance with the avocado and the guacamole and the sour cream or however you're gonna, you know, take care of that. That's up to you. But man, that's the way
yeah,
I like
if
it.
If I ever off of taco trucks or at a authentic restaurant like that, I always go with the chorizo breakfast burrito because they seem to like they do it right. I don't know if it's how they grill the chorizo first on the grill or if it's the seasoning they use.
Yeah.
But at a regular place, whatever, I might go sausage or bacon, breakfast burrito. But at an authentic spot, I'm always rolling with chorizo.
Yeah, I love chorizo.
Yeah, but it's got to be done
when
right.
When did you discover chorizo?
Oh, I don't know. Years ago now, but it was at that spot. It was at, you know.
But that's
I mean?
Where you
yeah,
discovered
at the,
it.
At the Taco Wagon.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't discover chorizo until I was, even though my dad always took us to all the best Mexican restaurants in San Francisco, and there wasn't a bad one. You know, from the hole in the walls to, you know, your Alfarlitos, which was a nice chain there. That was the first chain I remember. But just great burritos in San Francisco. I can't say enough about the burritos. They're so good. But yeah, we had a great morning, and then it looks like we had some hot weather this week.
Yeah,
what did you do to cool off?
Oh, same thing as everybody. You turn the fans on, you know, you have, you know, cold beverage. You just kind of relax and slow it down and watch some things.
AC, right? Putting the AC on?
Yeah,
you got to. Yeah, it was a hot week. We did get
up. Yeah, it's been, and I think it's serious business. I don't know a lot about all the science behind it, but yeah, I don't remember it raining once this year. You know, it rained so little. I mean, of course it rained, but it rained so little that it's serious.
Yeah, they were always saying, oh, we're going to get 3 inches. And then, oh, we only got half an inch. You know, it was just always overpromise and underdeliver.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's looking good out there, you know.
Yeah, I'm still able to get good produce.
Yeah, Lake Sonoma, we went out there to wake surf with DJ Jamesy yesterday or the other day, and I tell you what, the lake is the lowest I've ever seen it. They're talking about closing it middle of July. Just closing it. The rest, I mean, they're pretty much going to lose the summer.
Why? Because the water level?
The water level is so low.
So low?
Yeah.
Can't have boats out there,
We can't. It's almost like we can't get to winter soon enough right now.
Yeah, but it just ended.
I know. That's the scary part.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a drought.
Yeah, so out there, be careful. You know, if it's yellow, it's mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. But you know, don't water the lawn. Let that thing go. Go to I would go to a, what do you call it? A rock yard because you know, lay some plastic down, put rocks down because then you don't. They're waterless yards. I think that's a good idea.
Oh yeah, like you lived in Arizona, fake grass, all that.
No fake. Well, I guess if you want it, I'm not a fake grass kind of.
No, me either. But yeah, no, people do use a lot of rock.
I got turf toe when I was a kid from basketball and skateboarding.
I've heard that in the NFL, and that's crazy.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I don't even know what turf toe is. But
well,
yeah,
let me tell you,
business. I'm sure it hurts.
Yeah, it did. So what happens is, you're talking about a funny story. So What happens is turf toe. The reason they call it
not a doctor.
Oh, I'm not a doctor, but I went to the best doctors.
This is
a true story. Yeah,
no, I feel
this is a life story, people. This is one that that I hope you know you guys can learn from, because I almost learned the hard way, but it turned out to have a happy ending too. So it's really funny. So so I have turf toe because I was a late skateboarder and a basketball player. And I didn't dunk till I was 30 years old. So my prime for I was a late bloomer. My prime for basketball was probably 27 to recently. I have to say recently. And so my basketball career was pretty intense, you know, because I just went head first, you know. And so
got to stretch.
I stretch, but you know, I push myself and push myself. I mean, if you don't dunk till you're 30. You finally had to say, I'm so close. What can I do to put me over the edge? And I started lifting really heavy weights with Super T. He told me, you want to dunk? You come to the gym with me. And this guy, like I said, had...
squats, huh?
Oh, this guy did was a natural. He would just pick up the weight, da-da-da-da-da. He was just all natural. And so we started doing those lunges with the heavy weight.
Yeah.
And I remember...
Straight bar?
Yeah, straight bar. I shit you not. One time I was going to put him down in my right... dipped, and that thing was going right through the glass.
Oh
no! I'm talking about it was going to go through the glass.
Yeah, once it goes a certain way, yeah.
All that weight, and we were doing heavy weight.
No spotter.
Not that day.
Yeah.
I mean, he was my spotter to get me going. Then I would just do it myself, and it was early.
Once something's going, he couldn't have probably stopped it anyways.
I did.
You did. Okay.
I took everything, and I just went like this, and I go, and then I set it down, and I was like. Okay, nobody saw that. you know what I mean? But... I'm looking around like, oh shit. They don't know how close that went to doing the thing. But the story is that one day in the gym, I told the kid, I said, throw the ball up in the air. And the kid threw the ball up in the air and it came running down. And I stuffed the ball through the hoop. And I had the hoop till it burnt. No, I still think I have it somewhere. Oh, I do. I have it. It's burnt, but I still have it at my house. That's right. It survived the fire.
It's called a memento.
Yeah, it's a memento. And I still have my one souvenir or trophy or whatever that I have left. And we will paint it, and it will come back.
It will rise again.
But the kid started laughing at me. And I go, dude, why are you laughing at me? And he goes, because I can't believe you just did that. I mean, my legs got so big naturally. No.
That's
so,
always interesting, because as the bigger you get, though, it's more weight you got to lift up off the ground.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're getting your body fat down because you were...
And his muscle. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll never forget learning that lesson. I was doing... I was thought about the guy on the road down to San Jose. I hadn't thought about... Or down to Santa Cruz yesterday. I hadn't thought about the guy in years, and here we are talking about him, you know, here on the podcast. Weird. But how weird. Great guy. Can't remember his name, but...
It's better that way.
But he grew up in San Francisco with me, but I didn't know him... until we were doing construction together.
Okay.
And he was a big lineman. Or we were doing demo work.
Even better.
Yeah, we were doing demo work down in San Jose. We'd all get in a van and they'd pick us up. Oh, what was the contractor's name?
It doesn't matter.
San Mateo. But anyway, the guy was this huge guy. And we're talking and he said, yeah, I just finished playing at San Jose State.
And, oh, that's impressive.
Yeah, and the Patriots are looking at me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but he had a bum knee. He had a bad knee, one of his knees.
What year was this? I wonder who who was it, Bernie Kosar?
Well, this would have had to been, and I'm not trying to date myself, but this would have been in...
That's as far back as I go. I do not know the Patriots.
Okay, this would have been around 85-ish, mid-80s somewhere. I'd have to, you know, figure it out, but in mid-80s.
Yeah.
Okay, and so, you know, they didn't take him, you know, because Bummer. He had one bad knee. And so, but one day we had got all the stuff into the van, right? All the stuff into the van. And one of the guys left a pair of clippers on and these are 10-foot ceilings.
Yeah.
Right? 10-foot ceilings.
You need a ladder.
Yeah, you need a ladder, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I was a good jumper. I couldn't dunk back then. I couldn't dunk. But I said, dude, I jumped up and I couldn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was a little higher than the 10 feet, and I just...
Yeah, but you want to be jumping up and grabbing clippers anyways.
Well, yeah, that's not safe. Mom wouldn't like that one. But what I'm saying is, I sat there and I looked at him and I go, damn, we're just going to have to get these tomorrow, or we're going to have to go back.
You know
back
what you got to do is American Ninja Warrior parkour, and you got to jump and do that 1 foot off the wall, and that gives you an extra 3 to 4 foot.
Okay.
And then you could have grabbed it.
Don't give away my secrets.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. So with this deal, I'm sitting here. Okay. Well, this guy weighs 350 pounds.
Oh, get on his shoulders. How tall is he? About 6'5"?
Well, he didn't even think that far. Oh. That's what those guys in the boat, when they did the movie about the boat, where they all guys stole the boat and tried to impress all these girls, and they all
Captain
jumped.
Phil?
What was it? No, it's a true story.
What, the Somali pirates? I'm the captain now?
No, not that one. It was one where some guy just took the boat out and stole it, you know, and told all these girls, oh, come with me. So we got all these people on the boat, drove out in the middle of the sea, and then everybody went swimming because it was calm. And he wasn't his boat, so he wasn't experienced. He never flipped the ladder over.
Oh, they couldn't get back in the boat?
But eventually they did. Not all of them. A bunch of them drowned. Like 10 people, let's say 6, 7, 8 of them drowned.
Oh, my
God. Finally, they calmed down and figured it out, and they got the guy on the shoulder.
Yeah,
and pushed the two guys pushed one of the girls over, but they watched 6 or 7 people die.
Dummies,
you know. So it was pretty crazy. So I'm thinking, you know, I didn't think that far ahead like them. You know what I'm saying? It's not your first thing. Before I could do anything, all of a sudden he goes, "Oh, don't worry, Frank, I got this." And this guy's wearing a jacket and boots, work boots, construction boots. You know, in
probably steel toes.
Yeah, steel toes with the Ben Davis, you know?
Yeah.
And he just goes...
Not PE clothes.
He just jumped up.
And flat-footed?
Flat-footed. Well...
Maybe took a step.
He probably took a... Yeah, he took a step. But yeah, he took a step. And then I said, holy shit. And I was a PE major. You know, I knew athletes. And I said, whoa, dude, that surprised me so much. Because even though you're 6'2", 6'3", whatever, he was a big boy. I was like, I didn't think with all that weight you could get up there. And he goes, oh, no, dude, I'd be dunking on people.
Yeah.
And I said...
They didn't want to see him.
I said, dude, when can we go play ball? And then we started talking, and he used to hang out at some of the parks. I hung out in San Francisco, like Glen Park, and some of those other sketchy ones where it was dangerous.
Yeah, good street ball.
Oh, but you had to be a street baller.
Yeah, California Ruckers.
You know, and so... and then his car blew up on the way down to work one day, and it was right off San Carlos or something, off one of those avenues right there. And he said, yeah, dude. And I left my basketball and I just got a brand new stereo, put in this hoopty, right? No, not if you hustle like me. And I said, well, what are you gonna do about it? And he goes, I can't do nothing. I'm done. I'm just gonna get another car. And I said, really? Well, I'm going because he wasn't working there anymore.
Yeah, so the wheels fall off.
So I said, well, I'm going back up there to work there tomorrow. If I go by, and it was on the side of the road, I go, if I go by, can I grab your basketball and your stereo? Yeah. He goes, yeah, I don't give a fuck. So I had his permission. Dude, and this is when life worked a lot slower than it does.
Yeah, it sounds like
we
it.
I drove, but I knew I had to get on it. It probably wouldn't have been there that night.
No.
Yeah, I went back and got yanked the stereo out and took the basketball. And then I gave him, when I saw him, I gave him the basketball, you know, but he said I could keep the stereo. But yeah.
There you go. That sounds like a rough day, but yeah, it's...
Oh, but he has had, this guy was so chill. So chill.
Yeah, but yeah, so but rough days are like, I know just everybody getting back into the swing of things and just coming out the pandemic, dealing with real life, not social distancing and not doing it virtual. It's a lot differently, you know, and to unwind during the week, you know, especially with the weather changing, especially with it getting hot. I've been doing a lot of barbecuing. I like to barbecue, you know, and there's a few meals I do, you know, I do the basics. I do burgers. Sometimes we do turkey burgers. Sometimes we do regular burgers, chicken, mostly chicken breasts, not so much legs or thighs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then we also do, you know, hot dogs or hot links or something like that. But yeah, but I like to do, you know, barbecue sauce on each side, flip it, like, you know, salt. Not too much salt. What I do is I substitute it with garlic salt and a little bit of pepper. And it's the ground pepper, you know, the peppercorns. You grind it, you know, and then pour it on there.
Oh, that's a way to do it.
Yeah. And then sometimes, I haven't done it recently, but then sometimes a little bit of red pepper sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, the herbs, the fresher. I didn't know that until I got older. You know, when we were kids, oh, there's the pepper. You know,
yeah,
the shilling's pepper right there. And I don't know, I was in my early 20s or something, and I all of a sudden I noticed, wait, how come when the guy comes for the salad and does the crushed pepper, it always has so much more flavor?
Yeah.
And I was like, then when I realized you could get one of those at your house, I got one. You know, because there's nothing like that fresh, cracked, you know, yeah, what I mean? It just, the aroma just enhances. Like they said, if you've got a great steak, and I know you're a big steak fan, if it's a good cut of meat, just some salt and pepper and cracked, of course.
Yeah.
And
that's all you need.
That's it. But you have to cook it the right way and the right temperature.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
know? And when I finally listened to like the just did it on the timer, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, then let it sit on the counter and mm-hmm. and let
now,
it
how
finish
long do
kicking.
You, how long, see, I didn't mean to interrupt, but how long do you rest the meat for? You, personally. What do you think's good?
Until I get the potatoes ready.
So as long as
it takes, you know, because I'll do 5 minutes, 5 minutes, and then just for whatever, I'll do like another minute and a half, then another minute and a half to 2 minutes each side.
Okay.
You know, so a total of 7 minutes per se, but it's different because the grill gets opened up so the heat doesn't get to the exact temperature that it says.
Right.
You know, because all that heat got let out.
You know, every instrument is different in the music world, and every instrument is different. Even the barbecue, if you and I got the same barbecue, and I barbecued something at a lower altitude and you were up in the hills and it was raining and you know, I mean, all these things make an effect.
Yeah, that's science, but that's why it's on the chef.
That's the
difference. You gotta eyeball this.
That's
stuff.
I see what you're saying. You're improvising.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna say, I always seemed sometimes let it rest for a couple minutes, and then sometimes if it's really juicy, you can let it rest longer as long as it doesn't get, you know, obviously cold. But,
yeah, because sometimes what they do is you throw it back on the grill to warm it up after it finished cooking. So you do another, like, whatever. But I'll do that
I'll
do that 1 to 2 minutes anyway.
So you have more flexibility with your potatoes. Because let's say the potatoes all of a sudden, or you get a phone call, or somebody's...
No phone calls. They're taking no phone calls when the grill's on.
Smart.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Off. Yeah. Phone's off unless I'm listening to a podcast or something.
Yeah.
But so what I'll do is after all that, you know, the 5 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, then the minute and a half to 2 minutes, all that, put it on a plate on the counter. Then the potatoes, I'll microwave them. And I've said this before, but then take out the potatoes, and then I'll do a one potato per se, where you cut slice in half, sour cream, you know, salt, pepper, cheese on top. And then if you have bacon bits, I would recommend those for sure. And then from there, I will go and cut up the meat in pieces and then transfer it to the plate. So all that, I don't know, is maybe a minute and a half to 2 minutes, you know, depending on how quick you're moving.
Yeah.
So I'd say about 2 minutes on the counter, you know.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Wouldn't it be nice if we all had heat lamps at our house? I just thought of that. Then you could be like, okay, let's just... No, and of course, a heat lamp's going to dry it out if it's too long. But just to keep that constant temperature.
Yeah.
You know?
But to me, a steak can be... It doesn't need to be like, you know, where you got to take your bites with your mouth open. It's that hot. You know
right.
what I mean?
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, so it could be room temperature to me, per se. But it's got, you know, not lukewarm I'm talking about, but... It's that it could be a little less than steaming hot.
Yeah, as long as it's moist.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the way to do it. So, what have you've been talking about? You've been doing a lot of barbecuing this week. What have you been doing else to relax? Have you tried any new products?
So let me grab these for us. So there's this beer that I've been having.
Okay, and where's it from?
It's from San Francisco.
San Francisco, my hometown. Gotta love San Francisco. God, I was having a good time there yesterday. I actually drove by that Glen Park basketball place, and you know, where I played with a lot of these guys. And God, I felt like turning off and playing, but I was exhausted. So I just went to my brother's. Okay, so this
These are a Fort Point Beer Company, and I'm pretty sure I don't know a whole lot about them.
I do.
I'm pretty sure they're out of San Francisco. It's a light, crisp Kolsch.
I'm going to crack mine.
K-O-L-S-C-H style ale.
Spell that again.
K-O-L-S-C-H. That's the type of beer. I think it's some sort of
German. Oh, cold style. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the style of the beer.
Oh, I'm excited.
They have a great label. It's all black.
Can I crack it?
Yeah, crack it. You know, get it while it's cold. But it's got a great label. And these are hard, actually, for me to find. I only find them at a couple stores.
It's nice and refreshing.
Yeah, but they're...
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Wow, that's a good one. Fort Point. Yeah, I invited him to my Burning Mouth Festival down in Silicon Valley, I think it was 4 years ago. And I don't think they were out that far, so they, I think they decided at the last minute not to come, as I remember. But super nice people.
But yeah,
do you know where you can get this beer?
No, I don't know. They have probably a bunch of places. But yeah, I think they have a brewery down in San Francisco where you can go and do tours and all that stuff. I haven't looked it up online or anything. I just grabbed them, and these are what I had last weekend. So I figured we'd just bring them on and talk about them a little bit. But it's a light beer. It's a lighter beer, and it's tasty.
You know what I really like the aftertaste.
Yeah,
you know, because sometimes you have those lighter beers and but you have no meat behind it, you know, it's just you have a water taste. This one's got a great aftertaste.
Yeah, they're not watered down, and I don't know what they have many different types of Kohl's brands. I think I've had three different ones. I'm not a huge
beer. I don't think it's a brand. I think it's a style.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like an IPA or whatever. I mean, I'm not a huge beer guy or a beer connoisseur. I just, you know what I like, and this is one that I've tried consistently, and it's been good every time.
So is this what you paired your steak with?
No. With the steak, I went with the red wine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. And just any sort of, I'm a cab, you know, cab.
Nice.
Something like that. Some sort of, you know, just, you know, what is it? Third, fourth shelf, $12 to $18, you know.
Hey, you know what? I've had some wines. I used to get a wine from Alexander Vineyard.
Yeah.
And I got the discount because, you know, I was friends with them. But I got them for $8 a bottle. It was the best Chenin Blanc I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And then one time my roommate said, here's a $400 bottle of wine. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And it
wasn't as good as that. Yeah, it seems like, yeah, I'm not a huge, you know, sommelier or anything, so I don't know, you know. All the wood grain and the flakes of this and the fermenting from the, you know.
Yeah.
But it seems like
how do you say that? A sommelier?
A sommelier or something? I don't know.
Something like that.
You know?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
But I go to those three shelves because it seems like those are where I'll find local wineries. You know, because I'll match up with the road. You're like, oh, I've heard of that road or I've heard of that. So I'll match up like that. And that's how I'll choose my wine. So I'll go buy four or five bottles
of
something that's local, something that's like, you know, maybe not the big ones that I've heard of, you know, something. And it seems in those three shelves in that price range, I'll find local wineries.
Oh, sweet. And isn't it great that we live in Sonoma County? And
well, that's what I mean. It's a different one every time because there's so many wineries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're all good in their own way because it's not like these are cooking wines.
No.
You know?
No. But, you know, I have had some older stuff that I used for cooking wine and marinating, and it was fine. But yeah, so that's what you've been pairing with.
Yeah, but so when I did, what we did is just regular burgers, and we get the patties that are already pre-made, you know, because they're just easy like that, and put the barbecue sauce on them like that. But yeah, I paired them with the Kolsch beer of 4 Point.
Nice.
Yeah, you know.
I really like this beer.
Yeah, it's got a great label. I'm not sure, I don't know if this is their only beer or if they have different ones. But I mean, if this is their only beer, if this is their main staple product, they got a good one.
Yeah, and all you need is one good one. But as I remember, they did have more than that, as I remember. But hey, there's my buddy Ruben. Guess who just showed up? The Chili Monster himself. The Chili Monster is in the house.
Yeah, so what I like about the Kolsch beers is it's a good social drinking beer. It's a lighter beer. It's not like an IPA where when you drink one or two, it's like you had a small meal.
Right. It's definitely not heavy.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with that. But like when I'm on the grill and I'm cooking and all that other stuff, it feels like when I'm done cooking all that stuff, I'm a little less hungry when I started anyways, just because I was working the grill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a thing, if anybody else does that, but I could have one or two of these beers while I'm grilling, you know, and it keeps the cool down from the grill, you know, because it's hot. But I don't get filled up from them. It's a good social drinking beer because you could have two or three or four in moderation, especially if you're not driving.
Yeah.
You know,
so you would say this
is... And it doesn't put you over the top, you know?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
This is, even if you do top shelf, this is the opposite of what tequila will do to you. Because if you're barbecuing with tequila...
Yeah, that's I don't know if you want to do all that.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'm doing tacos, then I do the tequila in
what? Margarita, huh?
A margarita, for sure.
Yeah, the shots.
Yeah, margarita is different. But yeah, shots are not a cooking drink.
Mm-mm. Nobody's going to be happy at the end of the night.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Don't do it.
But yeah, the Kolsch is good like that because you could have a couple of them and you could do them while you're grilling and it doesn't ruin the meal. per se, or not ruin the meal, but it's not like having an extra meal.
Yeah, and then you don't feel as bloated, you know, and then you feel good the next day.
Yeah.
You know, you mellowed out a little bit. And like you said, what are you doing on your downtime? You know, these days are stressful.
Yeah.
No matter, even coming out of a pandemic, we still got to climb our businesses back, you know, because now we have to make adjustments, you know. So let's just be patient and just remember that even the weed coming through the crack moves that cement, you know, just by applying constant pressure.
Like the ocean on a rock, eventually it's going to make a hole through it. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I like about
a barbecue,
because we do it just, you know, been social distancing with just a select few. We do it one or two people, you know, basically two. And it's still fun. It's like a party by itself. You know, you still feel like you're doing something.
Hey, you know something? The rule is you only need two people to have a party. You know what I mean? And when I was a child, my rule was you only need one person to have a party, because I got grounded a lot.
Yeah.
Put me in my
room. I don't know if that's true, because I don't know if there's only rules. All I ever heard is you got to fight for your right to party.
That's true.
Yeah. I didn't know. I don't think there's any rules to that.
Twisted Sister.
No, that's Beastie Boys.
I think Twisted Sister did a version of it too.
Really?
But a different, check me on that. I thought Twisted, but I know the Beastie Boys said, you got to fight.
Yeah. Well, that's my,
well, you know what? It was a popular.
My generation, that's where it came from.
Well, hey, I don't know about that, because I think my generation was.
Probably originated it. Yeah, you don't know how many. You don't, after I've heard old bands, you don't know how many hip hop songs I've been like, that's where that came from?
Yeah, exactly. When they used to do samples, I used to think they were at least original samples.
No!
And I go, oh my God, they got that one from Betty Wright, or whoever,
A million of them. Yeah, they're musical geniuses.
I love doing that. Mixing it in. Just like the cooking. You mix a little with the modern rap, with the old school, you know. Maybe we should do... And the thing is, now with the music, you can do something with anybody. You can grab Etta James, even though, God rest her soul, she's passed away. You know, you could do something with her. You could sample her in your stuff and do that little hook. So music, even when you die, music carries on and keeps growing.
Yeah,
so,
just like a recipe. But yeah, there's a few things. There's a few things in life that I think you can't do wrong, per se, as long as... Well, and when cooking, I was going to use cooking and music, because both those are fun to do and you don't got to be amazing at them to enjoy them and do them well. But with cooking, you actually got to do a few things well, because you can't get people sick.
Oh, well, like we said,
as long as everything, like, you could mix and match and you could come up with crazy recipes, but it's got to be cooked all the way through.
Hey, you know what? You could have the best meal in the world, but if there is a bacteria in there or something in there and everybody dies, or what about those guys, Sebastiani said, the one younger brought to Thanksgiving a bunch of mushrooms, wild mushrooms, and cooked them up. And then, but they didn't know that they're poisonous. And then it was a good meal. Everybody's happy. But then I forget how many of them dropped dead.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, mushrooms are crazy.
Yeah, so be careful out there with the mushrooms, you guys. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
You got to be careful with them. Because you don't know what...
Yeah, store-bought. Store-bought when it comes to the shrooms.
Yeah, just play it safe. Because these guys are not around to talk about Christmas. But
barbecue is a way that I've been letting it all just release for the weekend, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And we do the favorites, you know, burgers, all that stuff. What's your favorite go-to barbecue? Because the last thing that we had, which was kind of out of the norm, is we had a barbecue salmon, which was really good. We bought it from the store. It came pre-marinated.
Ooh.
And it was delicious.
Did you barbecue it in tinfoil or straight on the grill?
In tinfoil.
Yeah, good idea. And what do you put? I like to put capers and garlic.
Didn't do any of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I wasn't buying the grill on this one.
Sometimes you don't want to offend somebody, so you got to let them do their
thing. No, it was delicious how it came. You know, there was a special marmalade. I made up the word marmalade. I don't think that was it, but it was their special, like, sort of sauce that was put on top of it. Some sort of, I don't know what it was called, but, you know, it was a salmon and then some sort of sauce.
But did you, like, mix, like, apricot and stuff together?
I don't know what it was.
Oh, it was him. Oh, it was him, but it was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because the tough part about salmon is if you don't get it hot enough, it doesn't have that barbecue flavor. But if you get the grill too hot, salmon jerky's okay, but you don't want that. You know what I mean? You don't want that. So salmon, you got to be careful with.
Yeah.
You really do. But I don't think there's a bad way you can cook salmon, because I like it even if it is burnt on the end, it does taste like smoked salmon.
Yeah.
As long as it's not totally charred. And then the meat, the only part I don't like is when it's in between there. if it's still a little bit moist but crispy on, or not crispy but cooked on the outside, I like that.
Yeah.
But if it gets too dried out, bad. If it gets dried out all the way, then it's good. It's like a jerky. It's weird. Salmon's weird. I hate when you get that one part where it's totally dry but it's not smoked. And then it's kind of chunky.
Yeah, but smoked salmon is delicious, and you brought that up. But like my favorite, and I could eat probably seriously, like I'm gonna say 25 of them is, and I'm pretty sure it's an hors d'oeuvre. And what it is it's a white cracker, and then it's got cream cheese on the cracker.
Yeah.
Then a thin layer of smoked salmon, and then capers on top.
Yeah, yeah.
You brought up capers.
Yeah.
But I seriously could probably eat 25 to 50 of these things.
Well, Big John's right around the corner has them on top, that same thing on top of a bagel.
Well, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Tomato, tomato, yeah. But yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I agree with you. I go there and they'll have one left. I'll say,
that sounds delicious.
And I'm glad they don't have three or four of them, because I go, I'll take the bunch. Does that come in a half dozen? Let's go.
Yeah.
You can, you
and is it a toasted bagel or is it okay?
Yeah, just slightly toasted.
So the cream cheese, because on the cracker, the cream cheese is a thick layer. So on a toasted bagel, is that cream cheese more melted? Because you know, if you don't put the cream cheese,
it's
a thick layer.
It's already been toasted but cooled.
Oh, it's cooled down. Okay, okay.
So
it's
a thick layer. Yeah, that's a good point. It's cooled down. It's in the glass case. You know what I mean?
Because I was wondering how the hot with the cold. Because I like it cold with the smoked salmon.
No, but it's not super thick. But it's medium thick. It's not like real.
Yeah. I don't mind a thick layer of cream cheese.
Yeah, the way they do it is perfect.
Yeah,
it's
proportions and ratio.
Yeah, because then they put the smoked salmon on top, and like you said, the capers, and they use those big capers, not the little ones. Oh man,
I don't even know what a caper is. I mean, it's obviously some sort of plant. I just know they're delicious, and they come in the jar.
Yeah, I can get the jar and look at it, but I think it's. I want to say,
but that's all I've ever had them on.
Mediterranean type.
I don't know who came up with it, but good job.
Yeah, hats off to them. I'll even bake in the oven and put with the tinfoil, no matter what I'm cooking, and I'll throw a few capers. It's really good with chicken and fish.
Okay.
But I've done it with pork too. You know, with a pork roast.
Yeah.
And not with meat so much. For me, it doesn't work. But for all the other ones, yeah, capers. And then you put them in, and then by the time they simmer with a little bit of sauce and a little bit of marinade, and simmers in there, it just, that whole flavor surrounds whatever you're cooking. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, so we're having fun barbecuing.
Yeah, don't listen to this before lunch.
Yeah, make sure if you listen to the podcast.
But what's your go-to when you're behind the grill?
Whatever they're throwing at me, you know?
Yeah,
You
don't have a specialty or something that, like, is your favorite? Is it ribs?
I'll do everything.
You do everything?
Yeah, I'll do everything. Like I said, if you go to a party and it's like, oh, we just have these little hot dogs and I'm cooking those hot dogs.
You'll throw your twist on that.
But yeah, whatever they got, you know, I'll do something. I'll try to do something different. But, you know, it all depends.
Because ribs is one thing that I haven't done on the grill yet. And I always, you know, I like ribs. I'm a huge ribs fan. And, you know, whenever I go out of town or whenever I go anywhere, I want to check out the barbecue spot. And you got to try the ribs, you know. And ribs, sometimes it's, you know, it's the quality of the ribs is correlated to the quality of their barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
But
that's a law of attraction.
Sure. But I'm pretty sure you boil them first and then you finish them up on the grill. I'm not sure the process behind
process I've seen. And then what they'll do when they boil it, they'll put you know, their special herb blends and stuff like that, because then when water, you know, opens up the meat, then those little things get kind of boiled in. So the boil, if you do a plain boil, it would probably be boring. But I think you could start locking in those herbs and spices in the boiling process.
Yeah.
And then
finishing it up on the grill.
You know, or possibly even taking it a step farther is boiling it first, then putting it in a marinade, you know, because everything's open up and let it sit. Then coming out.
And throwing it on the grill.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but it sounds like I'd like to try.
Because I've seen the barbecue festivals on TV and all that stuff. I've never been to one, but it seems crazy. And I love, they got every little booth has their own different grill, their own different kind of wood they use, their own cuts of meat, their own sauces, their own rubs. It's their own, you know, these are years and years and years of family recipes, trial and error, you know, feedback from you know, people that have been eating it, different cuts of meat, all that into this. Okay, we've narrowed it down, and this is our go-to. You know, and it'd be crazy. I would like have to go there on like 6 different days because I want to try them all, and I would want to try them all with a fresh palate.
Yeah, you have to, because you, once you start mixing things in a palate, it's going to affect what you're tasting. And when we do tasting, sometimes it's like, try this one first, try this one last, because if you try this one first, it'll ruin the blast.
Yeah, you know, because that's like, I don't know how they even judge those things. I guess you just do a bite of each one, you know, and then kind of be like, you know, but to me it seems like it might be skewed, because your best one might be your first bite and your last bite, and the in-betweens you might get mixed in the mix of it all.
Yeah, so I think that's a great idea for you to go to these restaurants and try one thing at a time, you know.
Oh yeah. No, but I'm talking about like when it's the competitions and this is our go-to. Oh, it's like at a festival.
You're in trouble.
You know, and it's like we're gonna find the bit, because they break it down like, this is the best pulled pork, this is the best tri-tip, this is the best rib. You know, you get best in show. You get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when we've
been to festivals.
Yeah, when we went to the Fiery Food Show in Albuquerque, New Mexico, back in the late 90s, it was crazy, because I was like a kid in a candy store. We get there, they have all these different hot sauces, hot chips, hot this, hot that, and I'm running around this pavilion trying everything.
Yeah, you got to.
But what I did was I rested in between a lot so I could try, so I could get, let that flavor go away.
Yeah.
Right? But here's the moral of the story. So I think I'm being safe, right? Because I'm doing it that way.
Pacing yourself.
Yeah, I paced myself, but I went around. For 2 weeks, I had flu. I was fine, but it was like a sunburn where you don't feel it till later. For 2 weeks, I had flu-like symptoms in my whole nasal cavity, in my throat.
Oh, stuffed up.
Because even though I gave...
What is it? A fever?
Clogged. No, I don't think I had a fever. No, I didn't have a fever.
You weren't running hot?
No, but it was just because it inflamed those areas, because it got a little in, a little in, a little in, where I could have never handled all that sauce in a half hour.
Yeah.
It would have told me, we're going to rest you, you know, you're going to black out. But, you know, that just having a little bit in pacing myself, it had long-term effect. Well, relatively long-term effects for 2 weeks. Flu-like symptoms. So.
Yeah. No, I've done the same thing, but opposite, if that makes sense. Because I remember when we were in the cuts, I forget where we were at, but we were somewhere up north. And we went to a fair, you know, because it's some place where there's a bunch of trees and, you know, the only thing to do is outdoor stuff. And we went to a fair there, right? And then I got, you know, I forget how old I was, but my parents gave me some money, right? And they thought the money would be used to do rides and games and all that other stuff. But what I did with that money is I tried everything. So I tried the nachos. I tried the turkey leg with the bacon around it. I tried the foot-long thing of licorice. I tried the chili dogs. I tried everything. I ate everything, and then I puked so much that night when we went back to the spot.
Wait, there was no alcohol beverages involved?
Oh, I was a kid. I mean, I was a teenager.
Like I said, was there any alcohol or beverages involved?
Oh, no, uh-uh. Oh, I'm sure they sold them there, but no, I was... This was
straight off food.
Yeah, I was 11 or 12 years old, you know, or 13, whatever. I was a kid, though, so I mean, I didn't even...
So what did you learn from that?
Nothing. I learned absolutely nothing. It was glorious. But I tried a little bit.
Would you do it again?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't have to clean it up. I was a kid.
Don't make me laugh.
But yeah. No, I didn't have to clean up anything. But yeah, I played no games. I went on no rides. I tried basically every single booth and every single everything. And I double-fisted it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, just Slimer style, just pile it in. Rah 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 rah. But yeah. So yeah, that was my experience with the festival and affair.
But you did pace yourself through that 8 hours,
well,
right?
Well, because you had to wait in line.
Oh. But you could have never ate that much food in a half hour session.
No, it wasn't a half hour. This was over 6 hours. No, but I think I went from boom, 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 from thing to thing to thing to thing.
That's
you know?
Right. Oh,
and
so
then I walk around a little bit and check stuff out, check out the booths, but I went on no rides and played no games.
So maybe your time frame was smaller than mine threw up.
Oh, no, I didn't throw up till that evening.
Oh, so I see.
Yeah,
it's about later.
Yeah, no, I was, you know, just like typical kid fashion. I waited till we got back to the spot where someone had to clean it up. It wasn't at the, you know, it's not like I puked in the parking lot and we could drive away.
But actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, the flu-like symptoms weren't that bad.
I had no symptoms except projectile vomit.
Okay. Can we say that on the air?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
That's the technical term of what happened.
Yeah, that happens to 11-year-olds. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I mixed everything and ate everything, and it's not recommended.
No, it's a good learning experience.
Yeah.
But the best thing that we found out about today was this 4-point beer. I've already finished my beer.
Yeah, I finished mine too. They're light drinking. Their tagline is light and crisp, and it is. It's a Kolsch style ale. They're good. The label's good. They're local down in San Francisco. And I'm pretty sure that's where their brewery is, and you could go there, take a tour. I think they have, I'm sure there's some sort of meals that you could get there. If not, hopefully it's on the pier or somewhere like that, and there's many restaurants by there.
Yeah, it's not by the pier. It's right underneath the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay, but yeah, on the water, I should say.
Famous surf
spot. I just feel like anything cool in San Francisco is on the water.
Yeah, oh, it's got the best view of the Golden Gate Bridge.
I love San Francisco. I wish I knew the name. There's a restaurant there that we used to go to when we would go down there. And it's right. It was right when they did the Bay Bridge. They did the rebranding of it. I'm gonna call it. But when they changed the Bay Bridge and they put all the lights on it, remember the Bay Bridge project?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this restaurant is right there, and you could go there. You could sit upstairs. You could sit at the bar, or you could sit outside. But your view is basically the whole bay and that Bay Bridge. And you know, you could go have a burger. I would always get the burger. I get it with bacon. I'm just such a plain, you know, bacon burger guy.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with bacon.
No, you can't, really. And especially when you're out and about. And to me, when I'm out and about, I just want something that's substance, and it tastes good. Mm-hmm. Because I'm gonna have a few drinks and, you know, some cocktails.
Yeah.
So I want something that's going to mix well with that. You know, and so sometimes when I'm doing it like that, I just won't get onions on the burger. You know, it makes it just a little bit less better than I would like it. But
it might not have it better than you want.
Well, because I'm gonna have drinks, so I don't want that, you know, the fear of that heartburn and all that other
stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna pregame it like that, you know what I mean, maybe get it without onions.
God, yeah, the heartburn.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, it depends on your age group. I didn't start doing that till I, you know, hit those later digits.
Yeah. Yeah. The heartburn is no fun. But as long as you don't lay down right away after eating and drinking a bunch.
No, because you do this because when we go to the spot, because it's in the city and it's like that. So this is around like 5-6 o'clock. So then there's still many more hours, and then from there you walk it off. You know what I mean? I wouldn't park right next to the spot. So you park in a parking spot, whatever, and then you're on the pier, and then you can walk it off. You know what I mean? Because there's all those piers, so you walk it off a little bit. You go down there, whatever. You see all the street merchants and all the people. You know, you could get something spray painted. You know, a picture of the thing. There's people doing spray paint T-shirts. There's people doing 3-Card Monty. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a city. It's a great atmosphere, and everybody. You know, well, I haven't been there pre-pandemic, so who knows how it is now, you know. But it's same like that, because everybody's just trying to make a couple dollars and everybody's just enjoying everything. You know, it's usually good weather. Yeah. You know, you can rent a bicycle. You know, the pier is great. And if you make it down, because where the restaurant I'm talking about is, it's a little farther down, so you got to get in the car and then go to a different parking lot. But then you could go down by Pier 39. And then from there, so you already had dinner, so you're going to miss out on a lot of the seafood restaurants that are down there, but they got a good sports shows, or not sports shows, but sports shops where you could get a lot of good jerseys and stuff like that.
Yeah, my brother used to work at one of those.
Yeah, Pier 39.
Yeah.
And then you could go down and you could see the, what are they, the seals and the sea lions.
Mm-hmm.
They take over those piers right there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. San Francisco is, like, even driving through there today, I was just like...
It's a great city.
Whoa, I just had so many goosebumps and vibes, like, driving and remembering, like, that's who I am.
Yeah.
That's where I spent my first...
Because it's windy, you know what I mean? It's basically, I call it an island, you know? Cause
it is.
You know, it's a peninsula, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, but it's just its own little thing, and it's windy usually, but the weather is good enough for me. I don't mind it. I don't mind a sweater or a jacket.
No, and there's good neighborhoods in San Francisco for sure. For weather.
For sure.
Mission. Yeah. I love the Mission. Mission was my favorite for weather.
Yeah, but you brought up Robin Williams. I remember he had a great spot. I seen him one time. He used to live right by the Presidio. He had a huge house on a corner.
Yeah.
You know, and
in the Sea Cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived across the street from the Sea Cliff on 30th in California back in the day.
Yeah.
And it was like across the street was the Sea Cliff. My side was the Richmond District. But it was a two and a half blocks to China Beach. A hidden secret gem of San Francisco.
Yeah, great beaches, right?
Yeah. Oh, best views in private. You know, and then Baker's Beach is a little bigger, you know, next to it. And so most people go to that one. But the China Beach, that's for the rich and famous.
Right. You know? Yeah, unfortunately, I think a couple of those famous destination restaurants went out of business during this pandemic.
Yeah, which is a sad thing. I mean, some of them since before the turn of the century, the second one.
Yeah.
The 1900s. You know, so we're not talking for you millennials out there. This is a long time ago.
Yeah, I went to a restaurant. It was on the Sea Cliff, whatever. I don't know if that's what it was called. But it's right over there.
Oh, yeah, the Sea Cliff.
Yeah, and I think that one went out of business, but I went there and I had,
yes,
like...
Yes, it did.
It did. Yeah, but yeah. That restaurant was amazing. The atmosphere was great.
I always
was,
got the calamari.
Yeah, well, yeah, I get that as an hors d'oeuvre. But yeah, calamari, I get at any sort of seafood restaurant. That's a given. But what I got was like an American, not American, but a California type of gumbo. It was like... that's not what it's called, but it had like mussels in it. It was like a seafood medley. It had all their
with
seafood.
With Cipino sauce?
I don't know
was
the
it
sauces.
Red?
No, huh? It had no. It was just like, you know, like a water sauce, like a clear sauce, you know.
Okay.
And it was on noodles, and then it had all the
seafood.
Oh,
I know.
That
yeah,
had.
Linguine with clam linguine.
You know, but no, it had mussels. It had clams.
Oh, it had
it
everything.
Had crab. It had all everything. It had all their seafood in it.
Nice. You got the mix.
Yeah, it was like the poo poo platter. You know, it had all their good seafood in it.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I just love the San Francisco. Looking forward to getting back that way more.
Because it seems like, yeah, especially like I'll be curious to see, because that's like such an active town. Like anytime I go to the city, I love it. I love it like that. But there's always people jogging. There's people walking their dogs. I mean, it's such an active, no matter what. And it feels like it's broken down into different neighborhoods and different little spots. You know, everybody goes to this one, you know, their one corner store. Everybody goes to their one corner, you know, video store and their one corner stop, and it's all these moving parts, you know, and everybody's out and about and doing stuff. It's a very active city, you know.
Yeah,
I won't mention driving in the city because that's its own thing, and I think every city has its own particular set of rules when it comes to driving.
Mm-hmm.
Like blinkers are, you know, they're a suggestion. I might not necessarily be turning. Right lanes and no right turns, people use them all the time. So I mean, you know, so it's different city to city when it comes to driving.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah,
but I'm so curious and so wanting to get back out and about and just going out on little missions and little journeys.
And that's what it's all about. Enjoy the ride and go check these places out. Go have fun again. Be nice to people. I know it's hard sometimes. You know, like I said, we don't preach. We're here to teach, but not preach. And we just want to, you know, put our best foot forward out there, you know, in all aspects. And we're not in a perfect world. So let's give everybody a break.
Yeah, just be 1% better than you were yesterday.
Because it's human to make mistakes, but it's how you handle them that can make you great.
There it is.